I said I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, December 20th, 2017. December 20th, that's only 5 days away from Christmas. That's crazy. I still have shopping to do. I have a lot to do, actually. There's a lot. I'm behind the curve this year. Hopefully, I'm going to hit the reset button. 2018, I'm going to get ahead of the curve. But it's hard to believe, really. This year has just flown by. The year of Trump. The year that Trump built, right? Let's see. We have about, 70 new stock market records. We have 5,000 points entered into the stock market. And what's really pleasing to my to my senses, my ears, I guess, is what I hear about the stock market. This is just the tip of the iceberg, meaning that usually when you have a record growth spurt like that, 5,000 points, my gosh, I mean, you're going to have a correction, right? It's going to drop back down at some point. I mean, Mark Cuban said it. Paul Krugman from New York Times said it, that it was going to be a disaster under Trump. A complete disaster. Well, of course, none of that happened. All the pontificators from the left were wrong. And we're winning. That's what's happening here. The Senate passed the Tax Reform Act, Jobs Act, late last night, 51-48. And now it goes back to the House for another vote. To which case it's going to pass just like it did yesterday in the House, because it's just a little parliamentary procedure adjustment. And Donald Trump is going to have a big party at 1 p.m. He's going to give an announcement from the White House talking about how great this is going to be for America. When I hear the left talk about how bad this piece of legislation is, Nancy Pelosi said it was the worst in the history of Congress. It's really hard to imagine. There were bills and legislation passed related to slavery that she's discounting, I guess. So, I mean, she really, that kind of rhetoric, it's like, you know, hey, this is the best apple pie I've ever had in my life. And then, you know, 2 days later, you say the same thing. After a while, it's just rhetoric, right? He just does that. He always says it's the best apple pie he's ever had. I know I'm one of those people. Never met a pecan pie I didn't like. And Joanne's scalloped potatoes. Anyway, the point is that this is only going to pour fuel on the skyrocketing stock market and the overall health of the economy. And really how we got here This is just a part of it. Everybody thinks that this is the main ingredient. It's not. Tax cuts are generally a bigger part of this puzzle. But because of the things that Donald Trump has done with regard to deregulation and immigration reform and renegotiating trade deals and getting out of all these climate accords that put a stranglehold and stop threatening particular businesses and trying to pick winners and losers. Now, I don't mind if Trump picks a winner and loser nearly as much as if I, you know, Obama, because Obama never got it right to begin with. Never did he get it right. Never. If I had a son, he looked like Trayvon. Turns out Trayvon was a bad dude. Hands up, don't shoot was a big fat lie. Turns out ISIS wasn't a JV team that he was funding and financing, and that the Iran deal was a big joke. And we know that now because Iran's violating that deal. They're sending missiles up toward Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. And Hezbollah, we're finding out, was as corrupt as can possibly be, a terrorist group where we had a plan, an operation against Hezbollah that was told basically to stand down, and that we were allowing Hezbollah drugs to come through our southern border. No wonder you didn't want to border security. No wonder you didn't want to have, no wonder you advocated open borders. It wasn't just the immigrants, the Democrat voters. It wasn't just that. To where it was, these numbers don't lie, by the way. The numbers associated that just came out associated with immigration are really unbelievable. I want to get this, but the numbers, in 2016, Department of Homeland Security issued 1,183,505 green cards, the most of any year during the Obama administration. Just 4% of all new arrivals came in on employment visas. 0.004% of new arrivals came here with advanced degrees. Just 0.004. Massive increase in immigration from the Middle East. Hezbollah. I'm telling you, man. I think Barack Obama was trying to destroy our country. Now, I know all of you are saying, you just got that memo? No, you know, if you listen to this show, I've been preaching it for a long time. But it's true for a lot of America. I think they're waking up to a new day, a new dawn. And they're saying, wow, my 401k is up. Consumer confidence is up. Spending is up. Investments are up. Climate change and regulations are down. Trump deregulated more in 1 year than any other president before him ever did in their whole entire term. 22 deregulations to one regulation. And that's what's stimulating our economy. And that's what makes this just the tip of the iceberg. Tax reform and lowering taxes across the board are only going to pour rocket fuel on our economy. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio. We'll be right back after the break.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense, but the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-1519. That's 1-800-987-1519. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Leonora Cravota from Red State Talk Radio for MyPillow. I used to have trouble sleeping. MyPillow changed all that. I now fall asleep within moments of my head touching my pillow. That's how comfortable MyPillow is with its patented interlocking fill. MyPillow stays cool and does not go flat. Plus, it's machine washable and dryable. MyPillow has a 10-year warranty and a 60-day comfort guarantee. MyPillow is also the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation, and it's made right here in the USA. MyPillow is now offering Red State Talk Radio listeners a 4-pack special with 2 premium standard or queen pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. That's 4 pillows for the price of 1. To take advantage of this special offer, call 1-800-961-9194 and ask for promo code REDSTATE. That's 1-800-961-9194. 1-800-961-9194. Promo code REDSTATE. Put sleepless nights behind you with MyPillow, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio. We're so happy you can join us today. Our podcasts are becoming more efficient. We are trying to get them up 15 minutes after the show, and frankly, we've done a pretty good job of it lately. We have missed the mark over the last couple of weeks. They go up the same day. They go up a little later. So we've been talking about the Senate passing the Tax Reform Jobs Act, and it's now heading back to the House, and the House is going to pass it because it's hardly different. And that's not where the trouble is. The trouble is always in the Senate. And so this is a done deal. This is a done deal. And at 1 p.m., the president is going to roll out the red carpet and welcome tax relief. You know, what's interesting about Democrats is they believe in this zero-sum game. If you take away $20 out of your pocket and give it to this guy, okay, he's going to be 20 richer and he's going to be 20 poorer, and there's going to be a zero-sum game. But that's not the way it works. What the Democrats completely and totally and utterly fail to see, and they're so hell-bent on this whole class warfare thing, and they're so stuck on it. If the rich get richer off of this, God forbid that happens. That should never happen in America, that the rich get richer. Never should that ever happen. Of course, that's a very wrong way to think about it. You know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders gave this great little 10 guys walk in a bar, and you know, each one paid a certain percentage. The point there is, although there might be smaller tax breaks for the rich, they're going to probably benefit by having more dollars in their pocket than even the poor because of ratios and percentages. But everybody's really going to win. And even in that sliver, even in that 20% of the tax bracket where you might actually get hurt, and the only reason why you might get hurt is because you're choosing to live in a state that has high state and local taxes, like SALT, the state and local tax deduction. The only losers in this are the people living in New Jersey, New York, and California primarily. There's a lot more to it, and I can get into the... I don't want to get too dug into the sand there. But you know, what I want to say is that they did modify the state. I wanted to ban the state and local deductions completely. But they didn't do that. They needed some votes. They needed the compromise. They were losing too many Republicans from New York and New Jersey and California. They just couldn't sustain that. So what they did was they did a modification. They capped it at 10,000. I thought it was actually a very good compromise. Very good compromise. Even though it's not what I wanted, I thought it was a good compromise. It still curbs it, you know. It was becoming very abusive. And you have these very corrupt states like California. You know, like, for example, California is so far in debt. They have 13-point-something% tax. It's insane. And they're broke as a result of it. So, I mean, under the democratic liberal model, if you tax people to death, why is it that your revenue goes down, and why are you experiencing the most debt? How can you explain that? And of course, you can't. You cannot. And so the point is, you know, and so one of the other things I want to throw in there is California. That's why I think there's been a lot of arson crimes, and they kind of track back to the state and local. And the reason why this could be is because someone like a Jerry Brown can say, I want $7.4 billion in federal tax relief, and misappropriate the heck out of it, and build up their sanctuary cities and prop up their power structure and gerrymander their counties and make sure that they never lose another race. You know, and when you think about it then, think about this. Think about the failed policies by cities and states that are run into the ground by liberals. And think about why it is and how it is that they continue to get reelected. John Conyers, he had been a representative for representing the district of his district was Detroit. And for the longest time, 53 years, since 1964, he's been in office. And that city has done nothing but go into the toilet. When he took over, it was about one of the richest cities in the world. Big auto was and steel and manufacturing jobs were plentiful. And it went down the tubes. In fact, I can rattle off the last time a Republican was mayor of the following cities. Atlanta, struggling. 1879. Do you believe that? That's a Georgia city. The last time a Republican was mayor in the following cities. Atlanta. And I'm going to do this in kind of alphabetical order. Atlanta, 1879. Chicago, 1931. Baltimore, 1967. Chicago, 1930. I can't believe Atlanta, 1879. Chicago, 1931. Baltimore, 1967. Detroit, 1962. That was the last time they had a Republican in office. New Orleans, 1872. I remember when Mayor Nagin said, New Orleans is going to be a chocolate city. It's very racial. He spent some time in jail. You remember Katrina, right? They were supposed to take the federal money and build up the levee. They didn't. Next thing you know, the levee broke and Louisiana happened. They blamed it on Bush. That's what they do. How about the Orville Dam out in California? It's about to break. They're supposed to be building that thing up. They won't. They're going to wait for a disaster. And then they're going to get more federal dollars. The liberals just don't do it right. They don't care. Let's see. So I'm going to repeat. Republicans, mayors. Republican mayors. Last time there was a Republican mayor in Atlanta, 1879. Chicago, 1931. Baltimore, 1967. Detroit, 1962. New Orleans, 1872. Pittsburgh, 1934. Philadelphia, no surprise here, 1952. And Cincinnati, 1971. Those cities are run into bankruptcy, and those cities are really mismanaged. Lots of corruption, one-party city. If you're a Republican in those cities, you can't even come close to getting 20% of the vote. That's no way. That's not democracy. That's not, obviously, the Democrats don't want a debate. They don't want to have a discussion. And how is it that you can run a city into the ground and have that much favorability? It's an indoctrination, at the very least. And it all comes from this social welfare issue. And one of the stories that I've been following is by Leslie Page over at the Washington Examiner. And she says, I got to pull this up here because I got to check my clock. Hungry for accountability, fixing fraud in food stamps. Now, see, now that we have tax reform, we're going to be talking about Obamacare repeal and replace again, because Susan Collins managed to, through the tax reform, see some things that worked out for her to where she might be a yes vote with repeal. Now, you need John McCain's vote, too. And, you know, then you lost Alabama through corruption. So we don't know what's going to happen just yet with that, with the new wrinkle out of Alabama. And oh, by the way, Al Franken is more than likely going to step down. You know, who knows? We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Keep an eye on that, too, because I believe that they use that as a tool to win Alabama. And then, of course, a lot of the corruption, the write-in votes. There's a lot of things going on in Alabama. But there's two missions that people don't talk about a lot with regard to Donald Trump. A, he's on a mission to appoint and confirm and nominate federal judges that are young, conservative, and constitutionalist. That's his mantra. That's his mandate. And he's going like gangbusters. We're going to talk about a story related to that. He's on pace to set a record in his first year of appointing the most federal appeals judges, which is going to be key in the voter ID situation. He has a whole voter fraud commission. And I believe there's a lot of voter fraud. Project Veritas has revealed that. There's a lot of illustration to that. I don't think there's any secret that there's a lot of voter fraud. Seems like it always comes from the left. I very rarely have ever seen voter fraud coming from the right. And I have seen a lot of it from the left. I very rarely have seen these smear tactics and victimization and political correctness attacks coming from the right. They always come from the left. But here it says, the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, formerly known as the Food Stamp Program, is once again becoming a battleground for fiscal conservatives, welfare reformers, big government advocates, and the food police as Congress begins the process of reauthorizing of the next farm bill. The skirmishes will become more intense since SNAP makes up 80% of the total cost of the legislation. There are several issues that need to be addressed, starting with the bureaucratic nightmare of administering and overseeing the program. There's a lot of corruption. Drug testing is something that's come up. Work requirements have come up. You got to pay to play. You know, you got to work for it. And as soon as they start doing that, they did it in Alabama. The rolls dropped 80%. Should tell you something right there. With the new jobs market increasing the way it is, you're going to have more and more people dropping off that dole. Dynamics. It happens everywhere. When you raise the harbor, you raise all ships, and even the poor find great, meaningful jobs and get off the social welfare dime and get into the job market and get the ability to pull their bootstraps up. It's a way out and a way up. We'll be back after the break.
If you've got joint pain, let me ask you a question. Would you like a high-quality knee, back, shoulder, or ankle brace at little or no cost? Now, just in case your reception isn't great, let me ask you again. Would you like a pain-relieving knee, back, shoulder, or ankle brace at little or no cost? Well, if you have Medicare insurance, you could qualify for these pain-relieving braces at little or no cost. And these are high-quality braces. They are very comfortable, and they've helped thousands relieve their pain. Now, I'd like you to imagine going on vacation, playing with your grandkids, just living your life again without pain. The Mobility Hotline is a referral service that connects folks with Medicare coverage and other insurance to accredited companies offering pain-relieving braces at little or no cost. And don't you worry about the Medicare paperwork. They'll handle it all for you, and they'll deliver your braces for free. Call the Mobility Hotline now. The call's free. 1-800-557-6150. 1-800-557-6150. 1-800-557-6150.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. That's 800-814-5188.
Hey, this is Leonora Cravota from Red State Talk Radio for MyPillow. I used to have trouble sleeping. MyPillow changed all that. I now fall asleep within moments of my head touching my pillow. That's how comfortable MyPillow is with its patented interlocking fill. MyPillow stays cool and does not go flat. Plus, it's machine washable and dryable. MyPillow has a 10-year warranty and a 60-day comfort guarantee. MyPillow is also the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation, and it's made right here in the USA. MyPillow is now offering Red State Talk Radio listeners a 4-pack special with 2 premium standard or queen pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. That's 4 pillows for the price of 1. To take advantage of this special offer, call 1-800-961-9194 and ask for promo code REDSTATE. That's 1-800-961-9194, promo code Red State. Put sleepless nights behind you with MyPillow, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, December 20th, 2017. And we're following two big breaking stories that happened overnight. And that one of them is the McCabe testimony and all the ilk that's surrounding the special counsel, Mueller, and the FBI corruption. But the other is, tax reform bill. And frankly, the Democrats are going to regret not having one single vote, zero votes, to support this tax relief that's going to result in probably 4 and 5%. How in the world are they going to spin this? Because even the middle class that they are so much trying to divide from, you know, carve out, are going to show more pump money in their pocket than their 401k. We wanted to talk about the dynamics, and the dynamics are such that as you have a stronger economy, you get better jobs and you get better wages. The whole notion of minimum wage discussion will be thrown out the window. People will have better jobs, better pay. And their 401ks that they get from those jobs will be better than ever before. So, I mean, you're going to see things happen in a way that you couldn't even possibly predict with a strong economy. There are so many other tangibles in play here. Offshore funds are going to come back. Manufacturing jobs are going to be reinvested in, you know, because we're more competitive on a global market. And then we're talking about the FBI corruption. This is all boomeranging back. And James Woods said something. He said, "Are you kidding? Mueller is the best thing to happen to Trump. He is a chew toy for the Democrats, keeping them blissfully distracted while Trump and we Americans put this country back together again." That's right. That's right. Keep them busy. Keep them busy. They might be a zero vote in tax reform, and that's fine. Keep them busy. Keep them chewing on that Mueller bone, that Russian collusion delusion bone that Adam Schiff likes to talk about. Keep them busy chewing on that bone. Now, we are going to be taking in a call interviewing some people over at Solidarity Healthshare in just a moment. But I wanted to also talk about this one little thing that I wanted to read to everybody. It was by Conrad Black. Conrad Black is a famous journalist, Canadian-born British journalist, former publisher of the London Daily Telegraph, The Spectator, The Chicago Sun-Times, The Jerusalem Post, and founder of Canada's National Post. He says, "Trump was a joke until nominated, unelectable until elected, incompetent until he succeeded, and about to be impeached until he debunked the collusion nonsense. He has had a very successful year. His enemies have not." Conrad Black. And that's a very good point. He is winning. And this is a big win. This is a big legislative win. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Is this Solidarity Healthshare?
Yeah, this is Chris. How are you?
Chris, yeah, it didn't come up. I didn't see any, you know, I didn't see any information on the note there that, of the call that came in. So this is Chris Faddis. Chris is the COO of Solidarity HealthShare. And Solidarity HealthShare is a faith-based healthshare group led by Solidarity HealthShare and Chris Faddis and also Brad Hahn, who is the CEO over there. They emphasize the removal of ACA, and that's the Affordable Care Act or the Not-So-Affordable Care Act, and the financial burden of the middle class. Welcome to the Scott Adams Show.
Thanks for having me, Scott. I appreciate it.
So tell us a little bit about Solidarity HealthShare. And by the way, I think that now that tax reform is sort of like behind us, I think heading into 2018, we're going to see big time issues like social welfare reform, voter integrity. But also they've talked a lot about going back to the Obamacare repeal debate. And Susan Collins has even seen some movement. We've seen some movement with her that might make that even more plausible than it was before, now that we have tax relief before us.
Sure. Yeah, you know, it's important to people to understand that we do have some relief in that at least what I think is being passed today is, the zeroed out penalty under the Affordable Care Act. But there still is a mandate, though, so people have to understand that there still is a requirement to have insurance. And we certainly I don't want to see this get reversed. And so that's where I think people need to make sure they understand they can't just jump ship.
Can you explain that a little bit? Because I thought that the mandate penalty is gone. So how they enforce?
They're not going to enforce the penalty, but it is still technically a mandate. And so it's still there, which means it could come back if indeed we were to have some changes in midterms and all of that, which I don't think is going to happen. I mean, I think we finally have some momentum. So, and hopefully that'll happen. But it's important for people to know they do need an option. And really, just as responsible Americans, we should all try to find an option to be good stewards of our health care. And that's what we provide through Solidarity HealthShare, is an affordable option that is exempted from the mandate, but also just provides an affordable alternative for folks who say, hey, I could be responsible for my health care. I don't need the government telling me what I should and shouldn't have.
So tell us how we could work with Solidarity HealthShare especially for contractors and entrepreneurs that don't generally get the same benefits as people in corporate America do.
Yeah, and basically what we do, we are a group of members who come together and pay our medical costs together. So each of us makes a monthly contribution. I personally, for my family, we pay $449 a month. And whether or not I have health care needs that month, I pay that amount. And then as the medical needs come in from our members, we then share those bills among the sharing amounts that our members have contributed. And essentially, it's taking out the middleman. It is a nonprofit organization. There's no profiteering involved. We're there to be good stewards of those funds. And then the members get to choose their doctors, choose their hospitals, basically be in control of their health care. And we then are just there to facilitate the payment among the members. And it's a great way, again, to save money, to be in control of our health care, which is important to so many of us, to not have to hear the words, well, I'm sorry, you can't see that doctor, he's not in our network. Or, I know you want a second opinion, but this is the only doctor of that specialty that you have access to. Those are things that we hear. A member of ours, Kelly Soper, said that. She goes, I am so tired of hearing in-network and out-of-network again, and I'll never have to hear it again.
Yeah, well, Solidarity Healthcare serves about 27 households, which is equivalent to about 7,000 members. Are those numbers
still accurate? Yeah, 2,700 households. Yeah, 2,700 households.
2,700 households.
About 7,000 members, growing about 500 households a month at this point, and continuing to grow. And the great thing is, even with that smaller body, we're only been around for 2 years as Solidarity HealthShare. And, in that smaller group, we've shared over $3.25 million worth of bills among those members. And we've maintained solvency and continue to have funds available for members.
It says here price transparency, which is something that Senator Cassidy was focused on as a key provision for middle-class Americans. and it's not that is not provided in the ACA. Can you explain that?
Yeah, one of the biggest things with price transparency is you know, people understand this. You know, you go to the doctor or the hospital and you look at your bill and you say, wow, I can't believe that cost, you know, $10,000 to get some stitches and an x-ray, you know, and you try to figure out what that means. And ultimately, the biggest issue is, you know, you want to have a knee surgery. You call, you try to get a knee surgery. Can you get a, you know, can you actually get a price? It's really hard to do that. You don't get to see what it costs. Whereas if I go to the mechanic today and get a new transmission and they say, well, yeah, just we'll get you scheduled. And I say, how much is it? They say, well, you'll find out at the end. Don't worry about it. We'll bill you, you know. That's not okay. If I get a bill for $18,000 for an $1,800 transmission, I'm going to throw a fit about it. But because Americans aren't paying the bill and the third-party payer system is, we've just completely ignored that. And that's allowed insurance companies and hospitals to run rampant in pricing. Hospitals are far overreaching in pricing. And so price transparency says, hey, we are self-pay patients, technically, as members of Solidarity Healthshare. We pay attention to the bills and what is charged. And we as Solidarity Healthshare also pay attention for our members. So we look at those bills. We look at what the fair and reasonable prices are for those services and procedures. And then we go back to the doctor and hospital and say, this is what we believe is fair and reasonable, and this is what we'll pay. And that's a really important piece that has really been ignored in the healthcare conversation.
How do we this sounds like a better way. And I'm not surprised that we're starting to see this happen. This makes a lot of sense. But how do we get our public officials, our elected officials, to embrace these concepts more and more and push these things more? I don't hear it being talked about in the healthcare debate nearly as much as it should.
Yeah, I think, we need to talk to them about it. So we're on the Hill quite often, Brad Hahn and I. Brad more than I, but we're often bringing this up. You know, Senator Cassidy is the first person, member of Congress, to bring it up to us. You know, and so they're not talking about it. So we need to be talking about price transparency. We need to be learning about price transparency and then sharing that with them. But also we need to be developing the solution to prove to Congress that this works and to show it to them. And that's what Solidarity Healthshare is trying to do. We're building our body and doing that.
Getting rid of state monopolies and price transparency would drive costs down dramatically, you know, especially
Absolutely.
When they have to be reported.
It's a free market system.
Yeah, well, because you're right, you know, 18, you get stitches in a, you know, in a whatever, in a brace, and next thing you know, you're looking at like $7,500. That's... I don't understand that. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Now, what about your guys are, you know, Solidarity Healthshare, your faith-based healthshare group. So what's your position on contraceptive expansion, religious freedom, and, you know, conscious protection? What is your view on all that stuff?
Yeah, you know, well, conscious protection was the number one reason we started this, was, you know, looking at the Affordable Care Act and the mandates and you know, abortion coverage and contraception and sterilization. And so Solidarity Healthshare does not provide for any of those services. We actually exclude those from the guidelines. Members are, you know, are shown that, and that's explained up front, obviously. Obviously, you know, certain things that people always ask the question, what about the life of a mother? Well, typically, an abortion is never for the life of a mother. It's actually... you know, maybe a chemotherapy that might kill the child. That's an indirect, situation there. But we don't pay for abortions. We don't pay for contraception, sterilization. And our members adhere to that. And again, this is going back to boiling it down to the services that we all need access to, that we all need to help each other with, and everything else that's elective services. Why would you mandate that among people who don't believe in it? And so we follow that. We are adhering to the...
Now, do you have a variety of different plan choices so that if you're a young man, you don't have to subscribe to the same plan as maybe an elderly woman?
Yeah, we have three different plan options, and then it is based on, you know, there's, you know, under 30, there's a discount versus folks that are older. There's, depending on, you know, which plan they go for, there is a smaller increase for people that are over 60. But it's pretty small. I believe it's like $25 a month.
Oh, wow. That's good.
But yeah, we have different plans. So you can go all the way down to, you know, a single person under 30 on our 70% sharing, which means we would share up to 70% of eligible bills. You know, that's $107 a month, all the way up to the full, you know, complement of sharing where we have our most comprehensive program, mm-hmm. at $199 a month for a single and $449 a month for a family. So there's a lot of options for folks to be able to choose what they feel they can afford and what they need. And, you know, we just support them from there.
Okay. And how are you with pre-existing conditions and all those other issues?
You know, we take a much broader approach than some of the other health shares. We actually accept many pre-existing conditions, you know, through something called Health Track, you know, things like diabetes, heart disease, obesity, hypertension. Those folks would actually fall under our Health Track program and our coaching program, where they actually would work with a dietitian and work through, you know, diet and lifestyle changes to help improve that. And if they join that program and they participate in those monthly coaching conversations, then they're fully shareable, even in those pre-existing conditions. Those are shareable. Other pre-existing conditions, we actually graduate folks in. So they could come in. The first year, there's no sharing. The second year, there's limited sharing. The third year, there's limited sharing. And then they're fully shared members after that third year.
All right. Now tell us how we can learn more about you and your website and how we can enroll and, you know, let's help everybody find you on the internet and maybe even take part in the share group.
Yeah, the best thing is to visit our website, obviously, solidarityhealthshare.org, solidarityhealthshare.org. That's where you'll get a lot of information. You can, you know, get a lot of your questions answered. But we also have a great call center of members, folks that are actually members of Healthcare Sharing, and it's 844-313-4999. And our team is there as of right now. They're there already this morning, ready to answer calls.
Where are you based out of?
844-313. Well, our operations is based out of Ohio, but the company is actually based out of Tempe, Arizona.
Okay, and give us that number one more time, please.
Yeah, 844-313-4999.
All right, thank you. And we are speaking with Chris Faddis. He's the Chief Operating Officer over at SolidarityHealthShare.org. And I really appreciate you coming on and explaining this. I love the fact that you're faith-based. And I love the idea of health share groups. So you're a faith-based health share group. And it sounds like you have some really affordable prices. It's worth a look. And thank you for spending some time with the Scott Adams Show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott.
All right. You take care now. Bye-bye now. And, you know, healthcare is really, really important. And I got to tell you, we are starting to see new creative ideas and ways to go forward, especially since the mandates have dropped, you know, the penalties. Now, what that's going to do is that's going to defund the slush fund that was subsidizing the insurance carriers. So that's why you see a lot of these insurance carriers pulling out, because they don't want to compete. You know, transparent pricing, absolutely essential. The mini monopolies around the states, meaning if I live in a certain state, I shouldn't be limited to one or two healthcare providers. And yet that's always been the way, ever since I've ever known it. That if I live in, you know, across the river in another state, you know, I have a completely different set of options than I do just across the river, sometimes across the street, depending, you know, state lines. I don't think that's right. I definitely think that's a lobbyist mechanism, sort of like gerrymandering for healthcare, you know. So it's wrong. And it's wrong in so many ways. It's designed, obviously, it's designed to accommodate big pharma, big healthcare companies to maximize profits. And they have lawyers and legal teams and lobbyists to make all this stuff happen. But this is the next big issue that Donald Trump is going to take on. In Donald Trump's first year, though, he has really put a dent into regulations. put a huge dent into it. And the industry knows it because he promised that he was going to do it, and he did it. He did as much as he can possibly do. By the way, you know, one of the big stories that's going on right now is the, well, we were talking today, we've talked about a lot of things. We were talking about the Tax Reform Jobs Act that passed through the Senate, that's going to pass in the House again finally today. And there's going to be a celebration at the White House at 1 p.m. We talked about the McCabe testimony. He testified 8 hours. And he talked about, well, we don't know exactly what he talked about. But if the answer to the question of whether or not the FBI paid and whether or not paid for the Fusion GPS dossier and whether or not it's the same data that Hillary Clinton bought and paid for it, and that it was used to grant a warrant, used before the FISA court to gain a warrant to wiretap Trump's phones. And then you have McCabe colluding with Hillary Clinton. You have a big problem here. This is not anything close to being Watergate. I mean, this is bigger than Watergate. McCabe took over $700,000 from the Clintons on behalf of his wife, who is running for a state Senate seat. Incidentally, Virginia just switched over from being a GOP Congress by one vote. Tell me your vote doesn't count in Virginia. Now, here's the deal. The deal here is that the fact that McCabe didn't recuse himself, like Sessions recused himself, McCabe didn't recuse himself. What does that say about McCabe? These are people that you're supposed to trust. These are some people that are supposed to have high integrity. How in the world was McCabe involved in every single little detail of Hillary's business, whether it be the email gate scandal that they covered up, whether it be Uranium One, which William Campbell is still trying to divulge, whether it be the Fusion GPS collusion, Russian collusion angle, where you got Bruce Ohr, who worked right down the hall from Rod Rosenstein, who is good buddies with McCabe, whose wife and McCabe are good friends with McAuliffe, the former governor of Virginia, who took over $700,000 in donations from someone who is a target of FBI investigation. And you don't recuse yourself. You don't make an announcement that I'm not a good fit for this role. There are tens of thousands of people in the FBI. You mean to tell me you can't find one that's not intimately connected with the Clintons when you're investigating the Clintons? And shouldn't these investigations be done at a lower level anyway? But right there should tell you everything you want to know. Now, whether they tell the truth or not, he went in there with a pack of lawyers. You know, he's defending himself. He's not offering up details. The FBI is covering up. There's rumor that they all met outside of the FBI headquarters, all the people in play here. And by all accounts, people seem to think that they were trying to get their story straight, that their alibis line up. These are lifelong career, top-notch attorneys making boneheaded, stupid decisions. No, but they're not. We know that they're not that dumb. We know that they're smart. We just know that they're corrupt. You know, I don't doubt that Harvey Weinstein is a smart dude, but he's also a very sick man and a very corrupt individual. I'm just saying that sometimes some of the best, most renowned crooks in the world have been some of the smartest people you'd ever meet, but yet not good people. McCabe, I think, was directly involved in a way that he shouldn't have been. He should have recused himself. That's not even open for discussion. That's not even debatable. And frankly, Rod Rosenstein picking Mueller was a very dumb idea. These are people that, before they made these decisions, said, these are highly regarded, great people. Well, how could you make such boneheaded, dumb decisions? You mean Mueller is the only single person ever available? Now, he's the same guy that botched the Lois Lerner thing. You think he's going to go back and tackle that one? No. So I'm just not buying the integrity here. I'm not buying anything but the corruption card, because it's all too intimate, all too convenient, all too close. You got Weissman promoting Yates. Turns out that Sally Yates actually gave an order at the DOJ that no justice personnel was to defend the travel ban or they would be fired. Sally Yates, remember her? Well, she was good buddies with Weissman, the lead investigator. He was also the lead investigator for Enron and Arthur Anderson, put them out of business. This guy's a vicious dude, a pit bull, wrapped up in a pair of tassel loafers and reading glasses. He's a pit bull. And this is the team that Mueller assembled. Why hasn't Podesta been indicted? I don't know. It's all corrupt. And we know it. Quickly, we have very little bit of time. But I wanted to get into one other thing before we head out of Dodge. And that is the Democrats are going to have a hard time explaining the tax reform. Zero votes. And you have 10 senators that are races to watch. And I want to say there's Wisconsin. You got a guy named Tammy you got a woman named Tammy Baldwin who's trying to stay the only statewide Democrat in Wisconsin. She's a formidable enough candidate. But you got, you know, Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin. Wisconsin, you know, Trump's got Wisconsin. So if Trump campaigns and stumps in Wisconsin, it's going to be game over for Tammy Baldwin, Senator Tammy. These are all incumbents that have to save their seat in 2018. In Florida, if Rick Scott, the governor of Florida, decides to challenge Senator Bill Nelson, it's going to be trouble for Bill Nelson. That's another Democrat Senate seat that we could that the Democrats could lose. In Montana, very red state. Remember, Ryan Hinckley, big-time superstar in Montana now, from Montana, congressman from Montana. Senator Bill Nelson is going to, no, not Bill Nelson, I'm sorry. Senator John Tester could stand to lose a seat there. Also, North Dakota, we got Heidi Heitkamp. Heidi Heitkamp stumped with Trump. Remember? But related to the Dakota pipeline and everything else? Well, she's probably going to be in big trouble. In Ohio, you got Senator Sherrod Brown. In West Virginia, of course, we have Joe Manchin. And in Arizona, Jeff Flake. That situation is going to go further to the right with the candidate over there. Then you have Indiana, Senator Joe Donnelly. Indiana is another state. Look, Mike Pence is from Indiana, right? So you got another seat there. And you got the one and only Republican seat, Dean Heller out of Nevada. But now that Harry Reid is gone, I don't think he has the same kind of muscle. Plus, voter fraud over there is going to be cleaned up. In Missouri, of course, you have Claire McCaskill in Missouri, a very red state that went double digits for Trump. So basically, all I'm saying to you near the end of our show here is that the Democrats are in trouble, and they're going to have a lot of explaining to do as to why they didn't vote not once for tax reform and lowering taxes across the board, stimulating the economy, and getting the GDP up near 5%, which is all going to happen just in time for the election. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. We'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye now.
town in Tennessee, a long way from the suits in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess. Where I stand, the mound's getting steeper. They grab a shovel, dig the hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to their necks.